I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scaling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 43 for RPI, another 3 o'clock start at East Campus Stadium on Saturday. Joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I realize one thing we haven't talked about yet is the new communications technology that came in this year. Tell us about how that works and what has that meant in terms of play calling and communication between the sideline and the field so far this year.
Yeah, so we our league was granted a trial run kind of with the NCAA, basically trying to get ahead of where the new ruling is for the Division I level, where they have it as an earpiece, where they're able to communicate with play callers, typically the quarterback on offense, you know, a linebacker or safety on defense. There's talk in the next year or two that it's eventually going to be voted on to see if it happens at the Division III level. So we proposed our league to just try the watches, which is essentially a communication from the sideline with a tablet. We're able to kind of send in the play that then gets received with a vibration to those play callers. So currently for us, we're using it. Our league has made an agreement that no more than 3 people on offense or defense can wear the watches. So every team can choose how they're doing it. You'll see some teams are using it on their receivers that are no huddling, and then the quarterback typically talking to the O-line and running backs. With us, we're using it on our quarterback, and mainly what that's trying to do is just prevent the, in the past, we're a multiple personnel team, so we've typically been a huddle. There are some situations that we can go no huddle or different variations. We have 4 different tempos in our offense, but for the most part, we're going at the pace of our quarterback that wants to get up at the line of scrimmage and call it. What this is able to do, and we're using it to a certain extent, we're not wholesale. Because we weren't able to use it those first 4 games and through preseason, we've kind of slowly integrated it into our league play. And then vice versa, on the back end of it, whoever represents our conference in the NCAA playoffs, you're not able to use it then. So it's not I don't think any team is going all in on it. There's some teams are using it not at all. Some teams, especially on the offense side of ball, are really going into it. We've looked at it mostly from an offensive defensive standpoint to make sure that it wasn't a distraction for our guys. And then if it can make us either more efficient in terms of the communication, meaning that I don't have to run it on with a tight end or running back or a wide receiver, maybe it gets sent to the quarterback, especially some of our calls that might have a little bit more terminology or length of verbiage. But that being said, our defense has felt that it's been helpful. Our offense feels like it's been helpful, but there's still some times where I still are running it on with our players. So we're about 50-50 in terms of using it. I think it's one of those that if it ends up being something that goes through the entire division and everyone's using it, then as long as we have the ability to use it in the spring and preseason, then we can talk about maybe going wholesale in on it. But this year they're using our feedback to try to get some answers on, you know, just how they can make the product better. Our conference, the Liberty League, and then there's the conference, the ODAC conference, that they're using a different company. Both have been granted a trial run within their league so that there's, you know, obviously equality across the board that each team can use it, but not in our non-conference games.
So you can send in addition to the play, you can send in other text, right? Can you say to Johnny, hey, watch, here's the play call, and watch what the middle linebacker does?
Yeah, there's a different alerts, and I think that's where other teams are using it, where, like, honestly, you could almost program a robot out there where I could basically say, here's the play, go throw it there. That's where I'm probably anti, like a lot of other coaches. I want our quarterbacks to go off of their learning, the pedagogy of like how we're teaching it and letting them make the decisions. I just came from a quarterback meeting where we spent an hour going through certain situations, what we see, what we want, and also let them tell me, what do you see? And, I guess there's 2 different ways to look at it. I think some quarterbacks and especially some coaches want to make that final perfect play. I want our guys to know football, have instincts, and let them make those decisions on their own. I still believe in the teaching process, and our staff does. So, you know, we're not one of those teams. Like, we're talking tendencies on defense, but we're not telling the defense, hey, this or that. I do know other coaches at other places are trying to, like, basically take the thinking out of their decision makers. That's their call. And at the end of the day, they got to make the decision that they feel is best for their team. But for us, we are not doing that. We're not sending in alerts. It's more just another way to hopefully you know, and reinforce what we've taught them throughout the week, remind them in the flow of the game. Same things we're talking about on the sideline in the V in between series, but now in the flow of that series, I can now communicate, or our defensive coaches can communicate with our, you know, the guys that are calling the plays on the defense.
27-0 over Union. I want to go to the end of the game first. You've got all backups out there trying to keep the shutout, and those guys, they have pride. They did not want them to score, and then Skylar Simon gets the interception to make sure they don't.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, to earn a shutout in college football is tough at any level. And, you know, at that point in the game, you know, the game was in hand, and we had started to really sub in our twos and some threes. Again, we always feel like getting them that game experience is really important. And honestly, on that series, there was a couple, you know, we had a 15-yard penalty. A young guy made maybe a poor choice on the sideline, gave him a, you know, easy yardage, and they were getting into the threat of scoring. And to their credit, you know, they buckled down and made a great play. And Skyler is a freshman corner that showed, you know, really good glimpses of upside. For him to undercut that route and get that interception to preserve the shutout was, you know, again, you know, the pride in the process of making sure that hopefully we could secure that zero on the scoreboard. And I think that gave, you know, you can see the sideline. We were still involved, the energy, all the guys that were out there in the first three and a half quarters of that wanted to keep that on that scoreboard. It was really good to see that the young guys came through for that and made a key play to keep the shutout intact.
I thought going in, the big key was going to be to limit Flanagan from getting outside the pocket or turning broken plays into big plays. Not only did you do that, but he looked very tentative and kind of confused at times. Did you do anything specifically scheme-wise and maybe show him some stuff he wasn't expecting? Because there were a couple of times he'd start to take off and wasn't quite sure what he was going to do.
Yeah, I think that's a credit to our defensive staff. You know, they had a really good plan going in, and then really especially our players up front. We thought we were able to slow down their run enough and thought that they were going to try to use the quarterback in the run game. We knew that kind of going in, and they did. But a couple times when he did, either because we changed up the surface on him, we gave him a couple different looks, and especially when we started to hit him, we caused a fumble or two that can sometimes cause a player to be a little bit more tentative. So I thought it was a really good combination of up front mixing up the looks. Our guys were able to stay pretty true to their rush lanes and then honestly kept him in the pocket for the most part. There was one or two times he did get outside or through us, but I just thought it was a really solid effort overall from the defense side of the ball. And honestly, when we got up, you know, we got to 10-0, it was 13-0. We were really trying to push that to a three-possession game just to really reinforce the fact that they weren't going to be able to run the ball as patiently. And took us a little longer to get to that point, but I thought it was a solid play on offense and defense to kind of establish that lead at halftime, similar to the week before against St. Lawrence. And it just, you know, where in the St. Lawrence it was the third quarter, it was early in the fourth quarter when we were able to push it to that three-possession game.
You controlled the line of scrimmage. They didn't run the ball much at all, I think 41 yards. And what was really impressive, you wound up with 189, but only 4 negative yards all day. I mean, that's big in the running game when you're always going forward.
Yeah, E.J. Taylor, I thought his physicality really played out in the game. I mean, I thought our O-line, our tight ends, you know, the quarterback did a great job getting us into certain looks based off of, because Union was throwing a lot at us. They were showing us 3 or 4 different fronts and a lot of different movement and blitzes and different things. And, you know, one of those key third downs early, we took a negative play, and then we talked about on the sideline, you know, they were trying to time up the movements and we missed something. But I thought from a run game standpoint, when we can stay on track, and, you know, there was a couple longer runs, but there wasn't any like big gashes to get those. There was just a lot of solid positive plays. And, you know, we had a couple running backs run it, but I thought EJ in particular, his physicality and yards after contact were a crucial part of that, just the physical mindset, especially earlier in the game. And then you could see towards the tail end that then opened up some of his larger runs because they had to choose whether they were going to come in and play the body or try to take out his legs. And he was able to kind of finish it off with that last touchdown too.
Let's talk a little bit about conditioning, because we've seen some of his big runs this year have come late in games where maybe the defense is a little tired out. And a number of times this year you've gotten that big 30, 40-yard run from him that's basically sealed a game.
Yeah, we gave him our game ball. We had co-game balls at the defensive guys with the shutout. We gave Anthony Romano, the game ball from the defense side of the ball, and just in terms of his collective play, and there was a handful of guys that stepped up on defense. And then on offense, you know, a handful of guys played well, but we thought EJ, not just the total yardage, you know, the two touchdowns, but he's a guy, and I said it in front of the offensive unit on Sunday, he takes pride in his taking care of his body, takes pride in the sense of, you know, the strength and conditioning, and he's a 215-pound back that over the course of the game, like you can see his carries, he does kind of get into the flow. And we keep track with everybody the amount of touches and counts they're getting because we want to make sure that we're not, you know, expending someone too long. And, you know, in the past, we've done that with different running backs, knowing kind of what is their right, you know, for a pitcher in baseball, it's the throw count. Well, for us, it's what's how many times you're getting hit. And for him, sometimes when he gets into those double digit numbers and all of a sudden gets closer to 20 touches, that's where he's actually playing at his best. So, you know, we knew that when we recruited him. I saw it last year as a first year and even more this year. Like, he's a guy that if he continues to take care of his body the way he's doing, we like to feed him because late in the game, that's sometimes, like you said, where he's playing some of his best ball.
And he's fourth in the team in catches, so he gives you another weapon that way, throwing that short swing pass that he can turn into from 3 yards to 33.
Absolutely. We love versatile backs. You know, most good running backs should be able to run the ball. We want to see guys that can pass protect, guys that can run block, and also guys that obviously can get out in routes and be able to catch, whether that's a screen, whether that's out in our passing game. And EJ is definitely a versatile back.
Johnny Columbia went 16 of 25, very accurate. I think we're seeing that progress you talk about in terms of his reads and hitting the second and third receiver and also spreading a ball around. I think he had 7 different guys catch balls, and that's been par for the course for him this year.
Yeah, I think that's a compliment to, again, our receivers have done a really good job the last couple of weeks to continue to push through. We had some new guys step in and play this week. So it's a competitive position for us. There's a lot of youth there, so there's still a lot of coaching going through it. But, you know, one of the things that most people won't notice is that Johnny had about 5 or 6 key audibles that brought us into a better play, whether that was checking a pass to a different pass or changing the protection or oftentimes, you know, getting us into the best run. That the last run, for example, for EJ was an audible that Johnny got us into a better look, and our offensive line picked it up and we went and converted. So I was proud. You know, that first drive in particular was a very efficient drive. We went down and scored. You know, we overcame 1 15-yard penalty that we talked about that was more of an aggressiveness penalty than anything else. But I was just really proud of the fact when we can put 11 guys on the same page, that's when we've been playing at our best this year. So, you know, we talk about it. It's controlling our controllables, and when we do that, we're going to be a pretty good team.
Do you have to tell young quarterbacks that don't be afraid to change? Because if I'm up there at the line, coach has a play, and if I change out of it and disaster hits, you can be a little reluctant.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think so. I think our guys hopefully go up there with a quiet confidence in the fact that we spend Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday kind of going through the week, all the different scenarios. Obviously, like this week, for example, we know that RPI is going to throw a lot at us coming off of a bye week. So there's going to be situations we'd love to say we've prepared every single scenario, but we haven't. But there's a lot to be said for the confidence of going up there and just getting us in the best play possible, whether that's a first and 10 play, whether that's 4th and 1. We really want them to play with confidence. So I would hope the opposite. I think our quarterbacks go up saying, all right, I feel confident. This is a good look. If not, what is going to give us a better chance to be successful? And, you know, we just talked about it you see the defenses pin their ears back and go on 3rd and 12. Well, that might not be the time we have to just sit back in the pocket. Maybe we have to get in. So a lot of times I'm already thinking about that as a play caller, but I really want our quarterbacks to play confident, saying, all right, that's where sometimes the game manager gets a bad knock as a quarterback. I love smart quarterbacks that can say, wait a minute, what's the smartest thing to keep us on the field? We stay on the field, we have a much better chance to score points. We score points, we win games. It's a pretty simple thing. So sometimes 1st and 10 might be your best throwing down versus, you know, 3rd and 7, you know. So certain teams we kind of know there's a lot of tendencies, there's a lot of tendency breakers. So there's a lot that goes into the game planning, but there's a lot on our quarterback's plate, and I want them to go up and play as free and as confident as possible. And then we talk through in the flow of the game, like, for example, we weren't great in 3rd down in the first half, yet we were in good situations. We missed one here, we missed one there. But it wasn't like, oh, what was us? It was like, all right, let's go back, let's talk through it. And then we were actually really efficient in the second half and third down. So there's certain situations where stats are stats, but more importantly, I want our players to play relaxed and confident. And if we can do that in all three phases, then I think we've done a good job as a staff putting our guys in the best positions to be successful.
New face on the field, first-year wide receiver Jordan Nolan. Talk about him and the progress of a young player waiting his turn and creating his break and getting on the field.
Yeah, Jordan has been a guy that since preseason, he just has been super versatile, super durable. Not a big guy in stature, plays with really good quickness. But we had some inconsistencies at one of our receiver positions over the last couple of weeks. And again, we continue to evaluate and compete. And he had performed best in the last 2 weeks. So that's where he got his nod, got his first catch early in the game, and came up with a couple, statistically didn't, necessarily have a huge day, but like coaching points that we made from previous weeks carried over. He did it based on releases, based on some of our sight progressions and on the defense. So again, that's where I say we have some guys that are just big, some guys are strong, some guys are fast. At receiver, we need guys that can do a whole lot of different things. And I think his versatility has been helpful for the offense and has provided some added depth and competition that honestly this week is encouraged other guys to kind of step up their game. Competition's a wonderful thing.
I'm not whining about officiating, but there was one play in that game where there was a pass into the end zone to Luke Hansen and the defender gave him a two-handed shove. No flag, and we were talking about the fact that, and I looked it up, there have been two pass interference penalties all season long, one against you, one against the opponent. Are you aware, has there been any instruction given to the officials about just not throwing that flag? Because it just doesn't seem like they let a lot of stuff go now.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope in the sense of you could call hold or pass interference on almost every single pass play. But that being said, I think some officials have been swallowing the whistle and the flag a little bit and saying, like, letting the kids play. As long as it's even both sides, I don't mind it. I know which play you're talking about. It was a situation where we could have went up, made the 50-50 ball better. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that right now they haven't been going in our favor in the sense of some of those 50-50 balls. Part of it is we've talked about our receivers got to do a better job going back and fighting for the ball. On that one, that wasn't necessarily Luke's situation. Johnny put it in the right spot, and he put it in a safe spot where only our guy could get it. But, yeah, that would have been an opportunity. Obviously, being first and goal would have been a better fit for us. And now all of a sudden, we could probably get a touchdown versus the field goal. So those points matter. But we try to make sure, hopefully, you'll never see any of our players complain about a call or put palms up. If they do, then they're wrong. We're on to the next play, and that's what we did there. But, yeah, there's been a lot of situations where we've thrown the ball a lot this year to only have one pass interference against us. And honestly, this week against RPI, they're going to be physical on the perimeter. We'll see if they end up having any of those situations because they're going to play man. They're going to be up and be aggressive. And I think it's getting our wide receivers. We talked about the weight room and the strength, understanding that it's a physical game. And even on the perimeter, we got to do a great job stacking and winning physical type of one-on-one routes.
Defensively, it's easy to just take a play off. If you're the linebacker over on the left side and the ball goes a sweep to the other side, you can kind of jog a couple steps and say this one's over. But you mentioned Anthony Romano, and I've seen him make a couple of plays like this year where he's 20 or 25 yards off the ball, and he's the guy that makes the stop because none of these guys give up on a play. They all really attack the ball.
Yeah, and defense, and this goes back to even when I was coaching on defense, I think you always say your commitment to your teammates is where you are at the end of the play. And obviously you got to stay in your zone, so I'm not saying that a corner needs to come up and make a sack, but we watch film. We look at effort. Effort is a choice. Whether you're a senior or first year, whether you're 6'4 or 5'4 or anything in between, effort is a choice, and we say that in any of our three phases. We have a tough time with any loads. If guys taking a play off, then we're saying, why are you on the field? Because there's other guys that want that opportunity. So I said it earlier, competition's a big thing. You'll see that in special teams, offense, defense. There's guys changing their role every single week based on consistency and effort. And we talk about there's a handful of things you can control. Effort is one of the first ones. We talk about your attitude, your mental toughness, and how you compete. And those are staples of our program. And we're always going to basically say, talent is one thing. More importantly, you can coach off of effort. So Anthony Romano is a good example, and obviously our defense as a whole is doing a really good job of making sure that they're not going to get outworked by their teammates. Obviously, when their number's called, they need to make the play within the framework of the scheme of what we're doing. But that's one of the reasons we are a successful team right now. I think we're talented, but we're not always the most talented team out there. We're playing with great effort, and we're competing at a really high level, and that's what's given us a chance to be in the position we are right now.
Another guy, I was talking to you about this before we started, Vincent Giordano, a senior linebacker. He's got 5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries, 2 forced fumbles, and 1 fumble recovery. And talk about how you're using him, because he wasn't – I wouldn't necessarily call it blitzing. You described it as kind of like a walk-up defensive end and one of those sort of stack looks. So talk about how you used him.
So Vinny, a young man that I recruited, that we loved his versatility coming out of high school, strong, loves the weight room in the sense of he's worked hard to gain that strength. He's like a Swiss Army knife in the sense of, like, he literally right now, we call him, he's a starter for us. You know, in the sense of, you know, he can play inside or outside backer. Sometimes we'll walk him up as like that rush D end. Sometimes we'll mug him up inside into an A gap or a B gap. And it takes a lot to think about a guy who's, you know, to be able to play all those different roles says a lot about his athleticism, a lot about his head and his intellect in terms of his football IQ and acumen. So we're happy with where he's at. He's been super productive. And again, just we think of him as a linebacker who's one of our best rush guys. So, like, there's a lot of different things that we can do with him. But, like, as an offense going against him, you don't know where he's always going to be and what role he's going to be in. He's strong enough to be a D lineman, and he's athletic enough to be a linebacker. And you saw that come out in the Union game. He made a couple plays, the one in particular where he's tracking down the quarterback, forces the fumble. That was a huge play in that game that allowed the offense to have a shorter field than we were able to then capitalize off of it. So we feel like he's playing at a really high level. And I think, again, this upcoming week, he and the linebackers are going to be put in a position where both the run and the pass and the versatility of what RPI is going to do, we got to then match it with our versatility and the ability to play run and pass like our linebackers have been able to do so far.
And in the secondary, I thought they had a great game in terms of being able to cover receivers, but also in run support. We saw those guys coming up making tackles on run plays.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I think, where our DBs are at the point right now where you know, we mixed in some man coverage. We did a handful of zone. You know, we've talked about it. You know, you can go back to the Ithaca game in terms of Chris Tumba's productivity in terms of, you know, one of our better tacklers in open space, you know, from Z Dixon at the other corner. And then obviously our safeties are significant in the run game with Zach Ambielli and then Alex Smith. So all 4 of those guys, and then we mix in some nickel and dime packages in it. That's the key is you got to be able to tackle in open space. And our defense, one of the reasons they've been able to hold points down on people is, you know, they've been giving up some completions, but are we able to rally and, you know, make that tackle versus letting some people get that extra yardage to get a first down or the different field position?
It was great to see Toby Weffering not only tie the field goal record, he's got a chance to become the all-time leading field goal kicker, but hit a 49-yarder.
Yeah, and that was good for another, you know, 10, 15.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, talking to the coaches and like, yeah, you sure about the distance? And again, that's the confidence we had in Toby. You know, that when there was a little bit of wind aided, so like we felt like he was good from that standpoint. Really pointed out the protection. You know, when you go further back, those field goals, it's, you know, lower angle. So everybody on that field goal unit did a really good job, and we pointed that out in our Sunday special teams meeting. It was just, you know, not always, you know, sometimes people give Toby the credit, but like it comes to the operations. That's a freshman snapper, freshman holder, a lot of younger guys in the mix and that field goal unit. Obviously, we trust Toby to be able to make that kick, but it also goes in the trust of the protection. So pleased for Toby and obviously Kyle Hackett. It has been a mainstay in terms of really good, consistent kicker for us. You know, Kyle didn't get that extra year. Unfortunately, with COVID, he chose to graduate and move on. And, you know, Toby's at a good spot here that hopefully we're kicking some extra points. But at some point here, he'll have a chance to potentially take that lead. And hopefully he's ready for that moment.
RPI has been a good team the last several years, struggling a little bit this year. This is a case of a team, they don't run the ball a lot. They have a veteran quarterback in Jake Kazanowski. I wouldn't be that surprised to see 45 or 50 throws from him.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they are a better team than the record. And I say that again just because I've seen the film on them. They're an experienced team. I mean, you think about it on their offensive side of the ball, they have a handful of guys coming back as returning starters. Obviously, this quarterback was an all-conference player last year, currently leading the league in yardage, and they throw it around pretty well. They have really good speed at the receiver positions. They have a couple of big tight ends. Honestly, they have really good running backs. I'm surprised they're not as productive in the run game, to be honest with you, because I feel like they have a couple of really good, talented running backs that have shown the ability to run it. So I don't know if that's more been because they've been playing from behind or they just trust their quarterback a little bit more. I know 2 years ago at their place, they tried to run it on us a little bit more. So I think coming off of a bye week, I'm sure they have a lot to throw at us. That's the type of team they are, where they're going to offense, defense, special teams. We're going to see something new just because they've had the extra time to do it. So I know from our defense, there's going to be a gadget, different formations and trick plays and some different things. But I do expect that they're going to put the ball in that quarterback's hand and ask him to really push it around the field a lot. And that's who they are. So obviously at this point, that's what we got to expect to see going in.
For a number of years, they ran that offense. I called it kind of that double wing look, where they'd have the two receivers line up behind and outside the tackles, and they'd run them a lot on end around and kind of jet sweep action. It doesn't look like they're doing that as much as they used to.
No, a little bit more spread. Again, you see the speed, and even last year, the game we played against them last year, they played with two other quarterbacks. Their starter was out, and they were super productive at that point. I mean, early on, we were down two different times, 14 points in that game, and ended up winning later in the game as we pulled away. But at the end of the day, they are going to try to be spread. They will do a handful. They are multiple personnel, so there will be some things, like I said, where they'll come in with tight ends and crunch packages and some different looks, but they're a little bit more productive as of this point in the season, being a little bit more spread.
They're first in passing offense. They're last in passing defense. Johnny's been throwing the ball well. Is this a game where you might see him throwing more than usual?
Yeah, it's deceptive because I think their defense is really good. Eight returning starters plus a transfer. I mean, this is a pretty experienced defense. I think their front is really, really good. This D line is probably going to be one of the more athletic fronts, and with size to get upfield. So I know they're really good against the run. Obviously, if you watched us last week, that was one of the keys to us winning. Was I thought establishing the line of scrimmage and having EJ, and the running backs do well. I'd like to be balanced in this one, but I also know that there's going to be times. I think they have a really good backside corner. Who they typically will play man-to-man, number five, and just basically say, we're going to play 10-on-10 football and leave him on island. He's that type of corner. He's one of the better corners we're going to see. They have basically three out of their four DBs are returning starters from a really good defense. So I think those numbers might be skewed a little bit based on if they played some good competition. And maybe giving up a couple plays that they wished back, like the 2 weeks ago, they gave up a couple big plays because they were playing more man, trying to stop the running game for Ithaca. So I think you have to choose your poison as a defensive coach. Like if you're trying to stop the run and you're putting a lot of those one-on-one matchups, you're going to be able to, over the course of time, have more opportunities for bigger plays. In the past, they've played us more zone. So I think we, at this point in the season, again, coming off of a bye week, I anticipate they're going to have a nickel dime blitz package, something that's going to be specific for us that we haven't seen. But I also think our quarterbacks are hopefully going to be able to make the assessment of, all right, where are they lined up pre-snap, our post-snap eyes, and having really good eye discipline is going to be key. But I would think that this is going to be a game, if we're playing well and we're working towards a victory, then we got to make sure that we're running and passing at an efficient rate. And if they do something defensively that tips off one or the other, then we'll try to take advantage of that. But I look at it going in, this is a defense that could give us some trouble matchups because of how they play. And again, I put a huge stamp on the fact of having 2 weeks to prepare for a team. While we were playing a physical game against Union, they're resting up. And again, that usually bodes well, and they typically play really well at their place. So this is going to be a game where I know that, stats-wise and records-wise, they say they're down. I think this is a really strong RPI team, and we're going to have to play really well on the road to beat them.
We've talked about the weather conditions in various places. The thing you run into there is they've got that big building down on one side. We've seen that before where the wind kind of swirls around. You're kicking to the open end, and you might be kicking into a tough wind.
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up. We talked about it in special teams. Because if you look at it, even on film, even on earlier days in September, the wind, it's kind of like this little whirl, that the open end is a little different. So you see a lot of times the kickoffs, people have had to use the safety to hold it. I remember years past, like it was a big difference on your field goal range going in one direction versus the other. Even some of those longer passes kind of getting held up. So like there's certain corners that are tucked in. So we're going to try to get our guys out there early in warmups and just make sure they get a feel for, you know, where that open side is. And that one side is really high. The stadium is really high, but then the other side is really wide open. So it's a little bit of a different setup. Again, never let the mind take you where it doesn't need to be. We just want to get confidence in terms of how you throw certain balls, how you kick certain kicks and punts. And at the end of the day, obviously, the weather or the wind will be fair for both teams. They just have had the advantage of playing on it yet, you know, as a home team, where we're going to have to get you accustomed to that in warmups.
One other note in the kicking game, that cornerback you mentioned, Cassius Johnson, is a real speed breakaway threat. He's at a 65-yard kickoff return this year. He had a touchdown last year, so you'll have to keep him contained.
Yeah, he's a very dangerous return man. Like I said, I think he's one of the better athletes that we've seen on any any position we've seen. Really dynamic corner, can play man-to-man. They put him on an island and let him go basically play the team's typically their best receiver as a backside receiver, and they're confident putting him on an island by himself. And then as a returner, he's been dynamic, had some really big returns. He's smooth, he's fast. So in the return game, we're going to have to do a really good job in trying to limit his big plays as well.
By the way, for lacrosse fans, we're doing a podcast with Coach next week, and you can find this and those and all our podcasts wherever you find them, on Apple or Spotify or Google. And let it be noted, I did not mention clinching, and I did not mention computer rankings or NCAA playoffs. Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud of you, and I appreciate that more than you know.
Coach Kevin DeWall, thanks very much, as always.
Thank you very much.